This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. Recently, the New York Times dropped an exclusive report dubbed as the biggest hack ever. Over 1.2 billion accounts covering 500 million unique email addresses, over 420,000 websites have been captured by a Russian hacker group called Cybervore. And I'm here today with David Raju. He's the principal consultant at Symantec Malaysia. David, let's just talk, you know, what actually happened because, you know, Holt Security, the company that was that made the report public, they basically gave zero indication on who is affected or how they even managed to obtain the output.
Hey, hi Jeff. It's good to be back. Thanks for having me back here. I think with regards to that question, it's pretty much based on, you know, whatever information that Cybervore has given. So whatever they publicly inform, right? So what we do know is that they are actually, I think, making use of the information and providing some sort of additional breach notification service around the whole event, where they are, I think, charging something like $10 per customer to use this breach notification service from Holt Security. But I think other than that, they are not, you know, giving any additional information other than what was reported so far. Yeah.
Is it safe to say that, you know, possibly it may not be true, you know, there may not have been, you know, 1.2 billion accounts, you know, covering 500 email unique addresses been hacked then? Or is this even possible?
Well, I mean, that's what they are indicating, right? But I think the bigger picture here is that these things do happen, right? I think we've seen the recent Target cases, the Target retail breach, data breach, and this is just, you know, and just another example. And, you know, if this holds to be true, 1.2 billion looks to be the largest ever data breach. And I think it's even more damaging now that it's username and passwords, right? Whereas the previous data breaches were more around personal data itself, yeah.
Previously, we cyber hacks and, you know, all these data breaches have happened before. You know, we've all received, you know, notifications to change your password time and time again. But somehow, you know, after this, it's such a big number, 1.2 billion, but yet we've sort of, you know, on the personal level, you know, on our social media spaces or even our email accounts, we've yet to sort of received anything from the administrators or, you know, of, you know, Google or Facebook to let us know that, you know, they have been affected. So are these 420,000 websites just, you know, one of those really small minor websites that people just probably don't visit at them anymore?
Well, okay. So firstly, I think it's, you know, I guess it's almost like human nature. You know, when we read these things in the papers or in the report, we think that, oh, you know, it's not going to happen to me. But I think 1.2 billion is a significant number to look at. 400,000 websites. I think this ranges everything from the smallest, you know, mom and pop shop websites to even possibly big enterprises whose web application got compromised through this particular finding by Holt Security. I think the unfortunate thing is that we sort of got numb to the idea that, you know, there's yet another data breach, but I think we need to continue to be wary of how we actually use our usernames or how we actually craft our passwords, because from this report itself, you can see that there was no takedown of any sites, but in fact, they were actually trying to steal information or user information, right? Username and passwords. And from there, what they do is they then try to go to use that username password information as a launching pad into other online services and try to compromise those other online services tied to the same username and password. So there is, I think, value in that. And 1.2 billion is a pretty good percentage of, you know, actually hitting something, I would say.
Normally what happens, you know, when an attacker does manage to, you know, obtain all this, you know, especially just, you know, unique email addresses, and what can they do with it?
Right. So once they've got a username and password, it gives them a very good, number one, it gives them a very good insight into what the user is actually thinking of when they are creating passwords, right? So once they have username passwords, like I mentioned just now, they will then start using those possible username passwords for other online services, you know, potentially even email services. I think, you know, I'm sure most of our listeners out there would agree that sometimes all it does, it takes to reset an account is through an email address, right? Mm. So they will use the same username password, try to, you know, get access to email services and see if they can get in. If they can get in, then, you know, it's another yet another launching pad into compromising other online services. So once they're in, they can almost, you know, assume identity of that particular user for that online service itself. And you'd be surprised to know that I think, you know, all of us are guilty for it, that we tend to reuse the same passwords for, you know, so many multiple online sites right now. Mm. And, you know, hopefully, you know, none of, or would your listeners would be, you know, wise to think about, you know, for banking sites, you wouldn't be using the same passwords. Ideally, shouldn't be using the same password as your other, you know, other online shopping sites and things like that. Yeah.
So what's Symantec's view, you know, when it comes to cyber attacks? Because it has happened before. I think the previous so-called largest hack was about 700,000 email addresses. You know, are we really secured?
I think in my previous, you know, show, you know, interview with you, we mentioned our ISTR, Internet Security Threat Report, Volume 19. This will continue to be a topic a trend that we will continue to see and time again in our report. But our view with when it comes to cyber hack is that you know, these attackers are actually taking their time in terms of profiling sites. They would rather go slow, undetected. They don't need to rush through things, and you know, they will just take their time. You know, just all it does is just really for the online service to just slip up one time, and they are in, right? So the sophistication is there. Time is on their side. So I think for us on the good side, the good guys, we have to be, you know, vigilant. I think all the time in that sense.
I'm speaking to David Raju, the principal consultant at Symantec Malaysia. And when we come back in just a moment, we'll talk about BYOA, or bring your own authenticator. This is Tech Talk on BFM 89.9. This is Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandhu, and I'm speaking to David Raju, the principal consultant at Symantec Malaysia. David, you know, are passwords a thing of the past? You know, even if we use completely random numbers and alphabets that just don't relate to our birth dates.
Yeah, so I mean, unfortunately, I think, you know, it's looking to be that way. I think it's just when internet was born, or so to speak, that was the easiest way to sort of recognize or authenticate a particular user with a username password. But you know, even with the recent breach of the Heartbleed vulnerability, so there was a research by Pew Research Center that actually said fewer than 4 out of 10 people who knew about the Heartbleed vulnerability ever changed their passwords anyway. All right, so I think passwords are a change of a slowly becoming that. I don't think we'll get rid of it that soon, but I think it's time that we all take a real serious look in terms of how do we actually strengthen username and passwords with, you know, additional authentication with regards to that.
What about, like, you know, we've seen, you know, even mobile phones these days, you know, they've come with, you know, fingerprint ID, yeah, and all. Is that the thing of the future?
I would say that would definitely be an agent of change, right? Mm-hmm. What we would say, because of just the proliferation of mobile devices. I think you and I have got, you know, almost the latest gadgets. With some of the newer phones, they've got biometrics built into the phones as well. So that additional security afforded by the mobile devices, you know, may just be that extra push to be able to strengthen that authentication. So into the era of second factor authentication or two factor authentication. So not just completely relying on what your username and passwords are, but as well as you know, a more secure or temporary authentication code, you know, that is obtained through the phone itself.
And yeah, you're calling a mobile phone a password killer.
Well, we're definitely saying that it's an era of, you know, bring your own authenticator. we've got technologies already made available on the phones to be able to provide an easy to use, you know, strong two-factor authentication on the mobile phones, on popular mobile phone platforms itself.
What should organizations then focus, you know, since, you know, the rise of, you know, BYOD trends are just growing even in Malaysia?
Yeah, so I think from an organization perspective, or, you know, enterprises in Malaysia that especially has got online services, right? really, you know, consider beefing up the password policies or password mechanism. I mean, that is still the lowest barrier to implement in terms of, you know, making sure that passwords are indeed strong when a user signs up with the online service. But I think more and more we are encouraging users, I think both users and the enterprises, to also look at two-factor authentications. You know, popular... even Google, even Apple is already starting to introduce two-factor authentication. So, you know, for enterprises, organizations in Malaysia to look at how to actually embed or include second factor. And it doesn't, you know, have to really be dependent on SMS technologies or, you know, where the second factor is actually sent over via SMS. But, you know, there are so many innovative ways of actually providing second factor on for online services.
You know, earlier on just now, you mentioned a bit about BYOA, or bring your own authenticator. Could you explain a bit, you know, how does this actually work?
Yeah, so I think in terms of BYOA, or bring your own authenticator, I think this is where, again, one of Symantec's innovative technologies. We've actually have the ability to very seamlessly push the second factor onto the mobile phone itself. So a very simple example is the online service itself, right? You log on with your username, password, and you click submit. All it does in the back end is it will then initiate a push down to your phone, and your phone, being the second factor, will then, so that's where our VeriSign identity and protection service comes in. It will push and it will alert you to say that there is a login service required from this website that you've initiated, right? All you literally do is just tap on either the allow or deny. And once you tap on an allow, what it does is it sends the code back to the website, and the website will authenticate you that you are indeed who you say you are. All right, so I think that's where we're talking about bring your own authenticator, because it's easily downloaded from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store as well.
So, you know, in the future, you know, what lies, you know, for us, you know, protecting our sensitive information, knowing that, you know, everything is just going to go online?
I think in the future, everything going online, you know, the ease of the data being available all the time, you know, online services. But I think we need to be cognizant of how this data is actually stored, you know, and how the services is actually authenticating the users themselves going online, right? So making sure that, I think, or, you know, requesting that the online service have got additional authentication services to be able to authenticate the users coming online. So, and very to complement an online service very well is our, you know, the Symantec Validation and ID Protection Service. It's basically a cloud-based two-factor authentication. So the online service can very easily implement a 2FA into the environment as well.
You know, David, you can have all sorts of technology. At the end of the day, it all still falls down just to the user.
Yeah, I think, I mean, at the end of the day, it's always the weakest link in the chain, right? it's still us humans interacting with it. But, you know, hopefully, I think with incidents like this, you know, continuous awareness and education, and hopefully, you know, when the two factors starts coming online, we can all sleep a little better in that sense, you know, knowing that our online identities are actually protected, not just by username and passwords only.
I've been speaking to David Raju. He's the principal consultant at Symantec Malaysia, talking about protection for the future. This is Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.